Oh Lord, we thank thee for the joy and beauty of this hour and of this place. We look to thee as the God and Father of us all, asking each as we have need thy grace, thy mercy, and thy peace. Help us here to become better ministers of Jesus Christ, better bearers of the good news for which he lived and died, better servants in his eternal kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The two hymns that we sing this morning are two hymns that are always sung at the first session of a Congress of the Baptist World Alliance. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. I should like this morning just to bring you a glimpse of that Congress in Tokyo this past summer. Ms. Adams and I had the privilege of being there. Dr. Copeland and I from the faculty of this seminary had the privilege of sharing in the program. Incidentally, Dr. Copeland really stole the show. He stood up there with a Japanese interpreter and proceeded to give his address in Japanese, and the interpreter put it into English. And after he'd done that long enough to confound most of us who couldn't speak Japanese, he very kindly gave the rest of his message in English and the interpreter put it into Japanese. I was very proud of my colleague, not only for his ability in language, but for the splendid message he brought on race relations in a very difficult and tense situation. But it was in keeping with the scripture lesson of the Congress. Let me read it from 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, the 18th through the 20th verses, as they're translated in the New English Bible. From first to last, this has been the work of God. He has reconciled us to himself through Christ, and he has enlisted us in this service of reconciliation. What I mean is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer holding men's misdeeds against them, And he has entrusted us with the message of reconciliation. We come therefore as Christ's ambassadors. It is as if God were appealing to you through us. In Christ's name we implore you, be reconciled to God. This Congress in Tokyo was a first in many ways. It was the first time the Alliance had ever had a Congress in the Orient. The Alliance was organized in 1905, and we've been having Congresses about every 5 years since, but never in the Orient until this time. It was the first Congress to have in attendance large delegations from Asian countries because it was in their area. It was the first Congress to be presided over by an African and an Asian as president and vice president. It was the first Congress to have a woman as chairman of the program committee. It was the first Congress in which the Congress sermon was delivered by a black minister. It was the first Congress to be broadcast across the Pacific by Telstar. The first religious broadcast Telstar over the Pacific had ever carried. It was unique in many ways. It was a monumental task for the Japanese. For only a little over 25,000 Japanese Baptists in three different conventions to endeavor to entertain 7,200 overseas guests was a terrific responsibility. But they did it well. And Mr. Kumagai and Mr. Ida here in our own student body from Japan and others from Japan can be very proud of what their Japanese brothers and sisters were able to do. The Congress theme was timely. Reconciliation through Christ. On the way over, many of us stopped at Pearl Harbor and it was still fresh in our minds. The Japanese still remembered Hiroshima and Nagasaki. They're very conscious of the presence of American troops in Japan and of the problem of Okinawa. As a matter of fact, there was some opposition among Japanese Baptists for having a Congress there because they felt it might reflect too much of Western attitudes and would raise many questions in Japanese minds. But that opposition about faded by the time the Congress opened. With this theme, reconciliation through Christ. Interesting story behind that theme. Every Congress opens with a roll call of the nations, and up across the platform come the flags of the countries that are represented there, and someone from each country in his or her own tongue speaks the Congress theme or the Congress text. Dr. Leon Cho of Taiwan, an outstanding Bible scholar. By the way, he's one of our Baptist pastors in Taiwan, and he is translating a Good News for Modern Man type of New Testament for Chinese. And Akiko Matsumura, wife of one of our Japanese pastors, is doing the same thing in Japan. Well, Leon Cho was at a former Congress to bear the flag of his country. And he noticed the representatives from Jordan, Israel, and Lebanon all chatting happily together in a friendly way. And he said, people do become one in Christ. Reconciliation is the key word. And he told that to Dr. Nordenhagen when the time came to choose a theme for the Congress in Tokyo. Dr. Nordenhagen said, reconciliation through Christ. And we demonstrated it anew in the roll call of the nations in Japan. Across the platform they came, 79 flags, representing as many countries. And representatives from those countries of every race and color, and a wide variety of cultures and costumes, carried their flags, and someone from that country gave the Congress theme in his own tongue, reconciliation through Christ. And there they came, the USA and the USSR. Israel and Egypt. When the flag from South Africa came, South Africa with its abominable apartheid policy that keeps black and white apart, who should represent South Africa but a black woman and a white woman, hand in hand? They stood with clasped hands and said together, reconciliation through Christ. And then it was my privilege to remind the congregation there, the huge Budokan, a big judo palace, really. It's my privilege to remind them that we have under God a message and a mission and a ministry of reconciliation. I read the message just a moment ago. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. But this is a twofold message of reconciliation. Men must be reconciled to God, and men must be reconciled to each other. We needs must be reconciled to God, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, and that word must really means something. But we can have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Sin can be forgiven. The burden of guilt can be lifted. Life can be made new and whole again. Reconciliation means to bring into harmony, to make one, to restore relationship. And sinful man can be at one with a righteous God. And what a joyous experience it is when through Christ you are restored to relationship with the Father again. In the words of one man who was trying to voice what it meant to him, a dear old man who'd found God through Christ, he said, "You know, I want all the world to know the joy I have in my heart now that I know God for myself." That's our message of reconciliation, but it's only half of it. If a man loved God, he must love his brother also. If a man doesn't love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? We do have a message of reconciliation through Christ between men. And like the spokes in a wheel, the nearer the spokes are to the hub, the closer they are together. And the nearer we are to Christ, the closer we shall be to each other. But there's an interesting fact about this message. And that is that you cannot be a bearer of the message of reconciliation if you aren't reconciled yourself. You can't proclaim the good news of God in Christ to others unless you know that truth within your own heart. I learned that in an interesting way again this last summer. One of the finest things we saw in Japan as we traveled through the country was in Kyoto, where they had a Japanese Christian exhibition showing the history of Christianity in Japan for several centuries. You know, Christianity blossomed early in Japan, and there were many converts who came to believe in the life abundant and eternal in Jesus Christ. But the emperor decided to get rid of them, and so did the leaders in that country. The feudal lords at that time said, "The only threat we have over our people is the threat of death, and these Christians aren't afraid to die. We'll wipe them out." And they did. For centuries, Christianity was underground and almost lost in Japan. Then about 100 years ago, there was a renewal. And now today, there are a million Christians in Japan. But in this exhibition in Kyoto, among other things, they showed some paintings, and I was especially interested in a series of paintings, three of them. One of them was an early Christian picture of Jesus with a number of Christian symbols in it. I looked at the second picture and I thought, well, that's just a poor copy. And I looked at the third and it was quite different. And my guide said, you see, the difference is the men who copied those paintings were not believers. They were just copying paintings, and they didn't know the truth the painting was trying to convey. And so the Jesus of the first picture became just a man in the third picture, and the symbols were all distorted or lost because the men who were trying to tell the message of the painting didn't know the truth themselves. God forbid it should ever be true that we who are messengers of reconciliation should not know for ourselves what it means to be reconciled to God and all God's children. For we have a mission of reconciliation. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. As our scripture says, he has entrusted us with the message of reconciliation. Missions is our mission. Here at home and to the ends of the earth. We haven't done too well. We had a dramatic illustration of that this past summer when we went to Bangkok and to Hong Kong. We were especially interested in those two cities because of the first four Southern Baptists who went as foreign missionaries. Three of them were members of First Baptist Church in Richmond, where I had the privilege of serving as pastor. The other was a Richmond Baptist boy, Mr. and Mrs. Robert Davenport, and J. Lewis and Henrietta Hall Shook. The Davenports went to Siam, then Thailand now. He was a printer, she a teacher. He printed the gospel in the language of the people. But after a little while, Christian work died out in Siam. We Baptists didn't send anybody there until just a few years ago. Other Christian bodies were there. But we Baptists were Johnny's come lately. And we're just now beginning to catch up with Robert Davenport's life investment in Thailand. We have a beautiful student center and a few churches, and we're making a good beginning, but it's just a start, centuries too late. But in Hong Kong, where Lewis and Henrietta Hall Shook started, we kept on the work. And today you see Puiching Middle School and Henrietta Hall Shook School for Girls, the great Hong Kong Baptist College with its thousands of students, a magnificent Baptist hospital, a splendid seminary, hundreds of Baptists in scores of churches all through that great metropolitan area. When we looked from the hillside down on Happy Valley Cemetery, where Henrietta Hall Shook was buried after a few short years of mission service, if we could say the cemetery is well named Henrietta, you can rejoice. You buried your life for Christ in China, and the mission has borne fruit. And we have a ministry of reconciliation too. As our scripture said, we are enlisted in the service of reconciliation. If we're really to be reconcilers, we won't just treat the symptoms. We've got to come to grips with the evils and the wrongs that divide us and alienate us from each other. With the disease and the ignorance and the poverty and the pollution and the social ills that make men suspicious of each other, make them question our real motives and meaning in life. We have to come to grips not just with the poisons that pollute the air we breathe or the water we drink, but with the poisonous philosophies and ideologies that are cutting at the very heart of the moral and ethical fiber of America and trying to undercut the foundation of all that you and I hold dear. Oh, we have a service of reconciliation. We're really going to be reconcilers. We have to face honestly the evils and sins of our day and time. The Word must literally become flesh again, as those who preach reconciliation really become servants of reconciliation. We had a Japanese guide, a lovely girl. We called her Rumiko. I said one day to Rumiko as we were traveling through Japan, "What is your religion?" She said, "I don't have any." Well, we talked about Christianity. Several of us talked with her a number of times about what Christ meant to us and the meaning of Christianity. But we didn't seem to get very far. Rumiko was charming and lovely, but unmoved. Until we went to the Baptist hospital in Kyoto. And she heard Dr. Clark, the head of that hospital, tell how they'd taken a Japanese mansion and built it into a marvelous, wonderful, modern, up-to-date hospital to minister to the people of Japan. And when she heard him tell all about it and was impressed by his spirit and his humility and his dedication, as we left that hospital, Rumiko said, "Dr. Adams, why is he here?" Then we could talk. Reconciliation through Christ become flesh in us. And miracles happen when that happens. We saw one in the closing session of the Congress in Tokyo. Billy Graham was to speak, and there'd been rumors of some very real hostile, militant student opposition to Billy Graham. They'd seen Billy Graham in a picture with Johnson, and they'd seen him in a picture with Nixon, and they said, "Johnson and Nixon favor Vietnam. That means Billy Graham favors Vietnam. We won't let Billy Graham speak." Well, the son of Pastor Matsumura and some other fine Japanese young people reasoned and talked with that group of hostile students for hours. When we met that night in the Budokan, we weren't quite sure what would happen. Budokan is an interesting building. When you came in from the ground floor, you'd go down steps and then come inside the ground floor, which was below ground level. And that night we had all the messengers on that floor. The others would go up steps and then come into a first balcony or a second balcony. There were no stairs inside from the two balconies to the main floor. And so we said, "All visitors will be in the balconies, only messengers on the main floor, lest someone try to rush the platform and take it over." And that night, just as the Congress was beginning its final session, Pastor Matsumura came in and said, "My son and the others have convinced the students there will be no militant demonstration." They were reconciled. But just before Billy Graham stood up to speak, on the platform sitting there, I saw two long lines of protesters come in and sit up there in that upper balcony. We wondered what they were going to do. And just as Billy stood up and started to preach, they began to clap. Way up in that balcony. Billy could be heard because of a fine loudspeaker system, and they were about a block away, but it was a disturbing factor. As Billy kept on preaching, Matsumura turned to me and said, "That's my son going with the others up to talk to them." And in just a minute or two, the clapping stopped. No force. Just a spirit of reconciliation. And at the end of the meeting, Billy gave an invitation. We hadn't been sure he was going to do it. You know, he's never had a flop as an invitation, and we wondered about this one, and just one or two people came from the main floor. We wondered if anybody would come. And then we saw movement in those two balconies, but they had to go outside. Were they leaving? And then to our joy, the doors burst open, and in they came between 200 and 300 of them, nearly all young people. Some of those protesters left that balcony. And we think some of them were in the group who came. And after Billy, they said, "I repent of my sins and acknowledge Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord." Some who came to scoff remained to pray. And all of us learned with a deeper meaning of reconciliation through Christ. And then we could sing as we had never sung it before. And as we're going to sing it now, blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. Shall we sing? Make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon us and grant us his peace through Jesus Christ, our living Lord. Amen.